Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today we remember the words of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew, where he said, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's." In America, we tax everything. Just about. Go to a store and you pay the price, but you also pay 7.5% or more, depending on what the city wants to tax you besides the state's tax. If you buy a car, the big expense is not maintenance for, but the sales tax that you pay on that. If you own a house, you know you get taxed just to own the house. You pay for all the services of living in a city community. Even our home calls are taxed. You know what? Somebody told me after the service, they reminded me of a couple of things that weren't taxed, like haircuts and things like that. But said, well, there was a city administrator who wanted to tax this. But just about everything is taxed. And yet, our nation flourishes. In fact, my high school teacher, science teacher, when we asked them, oh, do we have to do this? You know what they always say to us? Students, only two things you got to do in this world. Die, pay taxes, or death. So it's no wonder that the people came to Jesus one day and they asked him whether they had to pay a tax to use the temple, but whether to use the Roman coinage to pay this. Now they were setting him up because if Jesus said yes, then he was supporting the Romans by saying yes, use their money to pay the tax. People didn't like the Romans because they had invaded the country and were running everything. But on the other hand, if he said no, don't pay the tax, well then he was a rebel and subversive to the government. So Jesus in his wisdom simply asked for a coin he brought to pay the tax. And we know it was a denarius. Seeing examples of this, we know on one side it has a picture of Caesar and his name on it. And so he asked the people, well, whose name is on there? They were caught now. Couldn't say anything else. It was their coin. They said, Caesar. And the coin belonged to Caesar. But the point was, these people had that coin of Caesar's in their pocket. Now, that's a big point. Because it demonstrates that they depended on Caesar's currency. They supported the Romans themselves. Now, isn't that how money works today? We all say we make our money, but if we look at the denomination, it may have a picture of Lincoln or Franklin on it, and it belongs to the United States Treasury. Now it's in our possession because it's a symbol of saying that the government owes us whatever the value of the bill or coin is, a promissory note. So Jesus said those words that are now famous. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but render unto God what is God's. That's one reason why we pay our taxes. Because the Lord told us to. We are blessed right now to have government that we do and the freedoms and protections. In fact, one of those freedoms aren't we exercising right now? The government allows us to meet together, to worship God in any way that we see fit. What a blessing. Of course, there are some things that our government does that we're not proud of. Think of one thing, that is the legalized killing of unborn children that our government allows, which I think is both atrocious for a land that talks about freedom and liberty and destructive to it. Freedom and liberty for all, apparently, except those who are not yet born. But we do support our government. We pay our taxes because here Christ told us to. And the Lord says in the scriptures what a blessing good government is to us. It's a gift. Therefore, we are to obey it. Now, tax evasion, that's a crime. But tax aversion, well, that can be a good thing. Why, the government even creates ways for us to save money for, say, retirement or for tuition to colleges and avoid paying taxes on it until we start using. The government owns the money. So if the government wants the money, God says, give them their money back. It's that second part of Jesus' statement that we want to focus on today, where God says, render unto God what is God's. Right away, we have to ask that question, well, what's he talking about? What really does belong to God that we're supposed to give back? As creator and preserver of all things that we see in the universe, the builder of the world of all things, we must admit that everything belongs to our God. Our house, our family, our own human body, all the things that we treasure the most, and even the things that we don't care about so much, all belong to the Lord our God. From the first pages of the Bible, people have recognized this, and it's had an effect on them. When they see the good that God gives, the protection, the sustaining power, the good life that he provides, all these things cause people in Scripture to want to give thanks to God. And one of the ways that they give thanks is to give offerings to God. For example, the first family, the sons of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, gave gifts to God. And as you know, it happened that Cain became jealous of the better offering that Abel gave, and he killed his brother because of his jealousy. When Noah came out of the ark after he had been rescued from the destruction of the world, the first thing he did was to build an altar and there to sacrifice an offering of thanksgiving for his salvation. Father Abraham, when God helped him as protecting him from the 10 kings who wanted to destroy him and take away all his possessions and enslave his family, when God delivered him mightily from the hand of these enemies, Abraham went to Melchizedek, the priest of the town of Salem. And right there and then he gave him a tenth, 10% of all his possessions as a way of saying thanks. We could go on and on. But it's true that when we gather here around the Lord's gifts of salvation to us, around his precious word, and around the sacraments of God's church, we always pass an offering too, don't we? How do we determine how much that we put in an offering? What gauge do we use to make that decision? It's really a result of living each day as a steward or manager of all that God gives us. I have an illustration today of two different ways that we can use to decide what to put in the offering when it comes around. And I'll use apples to do that. Let's say this first apple represents my paycheck, what Pastor Wright gets each week, or every 2 weeks as it is here at St. John. Or it could represent their paycheck or whatever you use to sustain yourself. And let's say, I'll take a bite. That's the mortgage payment on my house right there. It was kind of a bigger bite. You know what that was? That's my second mortgage. You might have one of those too. There's a car payment on my wife's car that she's driving. Sermon sold down, I do these things. There's a grocery that you bought this week. That's my utilities. In fact, because you know heating bills are going to go up this year, I'm going to have to take 2 bites. Now I see my wife and child. I myself can use some new clothes. So here's another bite. And I really don't have time to go through all the bills that come into the right household here. But you get the point here. If I kept eating for all the things that I have to pay for, what would I have left? Just the core, right? And what do I do with the core? Well, I know what I can do with the core. It's not good for me anymore. Maybe God can use it. And so we, after we take what we need out of all God supplies us, we have a little change left in our pocket, we say, oh, I'll do a good deed. I'll give it to God. So here it goes. There you go, Lord. There's your offering. Many thanks for all you've done. That's the way a lot of people come up with the decision of how much of a thank offering to give God. But there is another way. Let's start over. Let's say, this is our paycheck this week. Before I take a bite, I think I'll take out a portion to give back to God. What I'd like this to be, from the example of Scripture, is 10% of what God gives me. We see many people doing that in the Bible, God blessing them. 10%. Sometimes people ask me, Pastor, should I get 10% of my gross or 10% of my net? And I would say to them, well, whatever you want God to bless, that's what you get 10% of. So I give this to God first, and then I've got the rest of the apple, and I can do whatever I want with that. I can pay all my bills, I can entertain myself, I can take a vacation, whatever I got left. But first and foremost, I took a first fruit offering, and I gave that to God as a way of saying thanks and to bless His church and those who need God's care. Now, I have to tell you that Lisa, my wife, and I struggled with this for many years before we could take God at His word. And the passage in the Bible that really helped us understand that we could trust God is from Malachi. I read this way. Will man rob God? Yet that is what you do. In tithes and offerings you are robbing me, says the Lord. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And here's the important part that really convinced us. Test me and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. It's quite a promise, isn't it? You know, we're not supposed to put God to the test, are we? Here's one place where God says, go ahead, test me, and see. Give the whole portion as a first fruit offering, and let me show you how much I can bless you. Now, you think you won't have enough money if you take that 10% or whatever out first, but God has the power to show you what contentment is really like. Now, I'm not saying that if you put $200 in the offering plate here today, that tomorrow you get a letter in the mail and it'll be $400. That's not how it works. But the Lord promises to you very clearly that you will be blessed by God. You will find that He takes care of all your needs in ways that you haven't imagined. You'll find that He gives you the peace and the contentment that we need so much that simply buying things can never do for us. That's what we need today. Contentment, isn't it? Contentment and trust in God. That's what our children need today. And there it is, right in front of us, just where it's always been, by taking God at His word. Now, I know right now in your mind you're telling me, about to tell me, if you were honest, 100 or more reasons why you can't do this, or even begin to. But doesn't that come from fear? Fear that there won't be enough. Fear of the future. And I say, give to God what is God's, and don't be stopped by fear. Didn't God take care of His people in the Old Testament when they were traveling 40 years through a desert? There were no stores, or there was no food or anything there for them to buy or to own. And yet, the Bible says, on those 40 years, they were never without food. Their clothing didn't wear out. Even their shoes didn't wear out on that journey the whole time. God will take care of you today also. But we have to learn to trust Him. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you have to give 10% tithe to the church in order to be blessed. That's not what God is saying. Because you have already been blessed. You have received the washing of regeneration through your baptism into Christ. You have been made a child of the Heavenly Father. You've been adopted into His family. He takes good, very good care of all His children. You've been made a brother or sister of Jesus Christ. By faith, you've received the gift of the forgiveness of all your sins, past, present, and future. They're all wiped out. Even that sin of robbing God that Malachi spoke about. You've been blessed with your name written in the eternal book of life, kept in heaven, where you will live forever in God's presence, in that place of peace. And you've been given a life here on the world with God's favor and protection. And I believe that all these blessings will have an effect on you as you observe them and you begin to give thanks to God. They will move your heart to see how blessed you are and how you can use what God gives you, a portion of that, to be a blessing to others, to people outside your family, to people who believe like you do, to people who have not heard the message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ yet, but maybe will through your gifts and offerings. I believe it will move you that way, and it will move you not to say that, well, it's somebody else's responsibility to give generously to the Lord. Someone who doesn't have the demands that you do. Somebody who's richer than you are. That won't happen. Because you'll see how God is blessing you and promises to the future. And this is for everybody. Even the kids here today. High school, junior high, elementary, college students. God says, your portion of what He's blessed you with, through your offerings and your service to Him, through your expressions of love and care for one another. But one thing is clear. There's no commands here, only blessings. That's how our God leads us to live each day as a steward. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds.